The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call Act 5, Scene 11. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Julinda Lewis with RVARE View.
And I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And we're going to start today talking about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, which is a Quill Theater production at the Dominion Energy Center through February 16th. Two minor characters in Shakespeare's famous play spend their time trying to determine their place in the world of Hamlet. What did y'all think of this 2 hour and 40 minute production? Let me just say that.
I should start by saying that as much as I love reading Theater of the Absurd, watching it performed live usually leaves me a little flat, and that was kind of the case here. I generally like everyone who's involved with this show. I felt its length. I laughed sometimes, but it didn't really catch for me, and I'm not sure how much of that is the show itself and how much of it is this production. What do you guys think?
It is long. I enjoyed the wordplay a lot. But I think I might have enjoyed the wordplay just as much if I were reading it.
The two leads, Tyler Stevens and Adam Turk, are both very talented actors in town. They both won Artsies.
Mm-hmm.
The chemistry just didn't seem right there. They seemed to be okay together. They had the nice kind of yin and yang of two different character types. But it just didn't snap. They didn't have that comic combination, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the delivery, and again, it may be the material itself. I will say that people around me did seem to enjoy it a lot more than I did.
I heard people laughing around me, too. And now, of course, talking about actors, we have to mention Joe Pabst.
Yes.
He was the actor in the show, and I thought he was hilarious, and he really brought the show up every time he came on stage.
I mean, he's one of those actors that can go big, but then also do the nuance, and he does a very good job. He's one of the highlights of the show, for sure.
Definitely, I agree with that.
James Ricks, who's a very talented director and directed this show, obviously, I don't think he imbued it with the kind of kinetic energy that it really needed to just snap.
I'd go with that. I feel like we're trying to couch this in the fact that we think that everyone involved in the show is very talented. I mean, James Ricks is responsible for some of my favorite moments in Richmond Theater.
Right, right.
But yeah, this one, it didn't quite make it. I didn't hate it. Just was kind of, it's all right.
Yeah. And yeah, because I think that's what I wrote, was that I was kind of middle of the road about the whole thing.
Yeah, and at 2 hours and 40 minutes, that's a long road.
Some of us have more patience than you, Jerry.
So we have been talking about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, which is a Quill Theater production at the Dominion Energy Center through February 16th. Now we're going to zip down Broad Street to the Firehouse Theater, where they are playing Stupid Kid. It is also running through February 16th. A man comes home from jail after 14 years to face an unwelcoming family.
I really did not like this show.
Really?
The script, I think, is awful. It's just mean with no purpose. Some things are depicted on stage, which are pretty graphic, and if there was a reason for them, I'd be all right with. But it's entirely unrealistic. I didn't like the direction. I didn't think it was moving in any sort of way. The three main characters are played by Andrew Furta, Adam Valentine, and Boomy Peterson. I've seen in other things, and they've done great work. Here, they're on stage, and they're doing well, but it doesn't seem like they're moving towards anything. It doesn't seem like anyone pushed them towards any sort of beats. The depiction of poor people is incredibly problematic. I mean, the scene where they're like, oh my gosh, Fruit Loops or whatever, they get a bounty of groceries.
Right.
It just felt completely out of left field for 2020.
I enjoyed it
a lot. I did too, yeah.
Going crazy over the Fruit Loops and the groceries, I just thought it was hilarious.
I enjoyed it too. I thought it was, you know, the cast was uniformly superb. I did have some problems with some of the ages. Eric Cullen, who was supposed to be a sheriff 14 years earlier, and he's probably solidly in his 40s, would have been like 20-something when he was the sheriff. Yeah. I did talk to Alison Devereaux after the show.
The director.
The director, yes. And she said that it was supposed to be cast as the older brother of the Boomy Peterson character, who in Boomy's easily in her 60s. Alison told me she wanted to give the role to Eric. She felt like it would be a good stretch for him. He has that charm and also handled the menacing part well. There was some difference between Boomy and Andrew Furter, and they were supposed to be married, but I just said, well, maybe that's a May-December romance. Beside all that, I thought all the performers did a real nice job. I thought it was a very strongly acted show. I liked the direction. I thought that she used a subtle hand, and she manages the overlapping dialogue, the raw characters, and of course the final scene. There were literally two people in my audience who were out of their chairs getting ready to run out of the room when that scene happened.
So oh, yeah.
I thought that was very effective.
But to go back to the age differences, they didn't bother me at all. I didn't notice that there was much of an age difference between Boomy and Andrew, because they were acting, you know, so it just erased that. Okay. And it's kind of interesting that there was a deliberate choice made in choosing Eric and making him a younger brother rather than an older brother. Right. And then when you said that, I could see more problems arising if he were an older man and then having that relationship with the young girl. Now, that would have been really creepy.
I don't care about the ages at all. So I interviewed the director and one of the actors and the playwright. And I guess how it was talked about ahead of time was that it would focus on injustices within the justice system.
Which it didn't.
And wrongful incarceration. It doesn't do any of that.
No.
And I think that people will see this and walk away thinking that they learned something, when really the situation as it's depicted on stage is very unrealistic. I'm not sure what the point of the show is. And I just thought, I mean, like, they graphically depict a rape on stage and things like that.
Well,
like,
off stage.
Fine.
You can hear it.
You can hear it. See it. Right.
And you see everyone's reaction to it. But, you know, like, it goes on and it goes on. And I'm not really sure that that was justified by anything in the show. What did we learn?
This is often the case between you and me in terms of our reviews. You focus a lot on the play, which is fine, which is good, because plays matter, and this is an East Coast premiere.
Yes.
I tend to look more at the production and say, okay, this is the piece we have to work with. What are they going to do with it? And I thought, despite the flaws that you've mentioned, and some of those are valid, I thought that was a very strong cast and a strong ultimate production.
And even with that, I mean, it premiered at Steppenwolf how many years ago? And this is the fourth production of it ever. I think that speaks to its strength as a piece.
Julinda, you want to broker in here?
No, I'm listening to both of you, and you both have some valid things to say. And I just wouldn't have approached it from the same perspective as you, Rich. I value your opinion, but I just don't think that it was necessary for me to have to learn something from it.
I don't feel like we walked away any better as people, or that there was any sort of real artistic takeaway for me.
Okay, well, I think we're going to agree to disagree on this.
Apparently.
Definitely. Yeah, we don't have the same perspective on that at all. And
I think
that the value of it was more than the flaws.
And we've been talking about Stupid Kid, which is playing at Firehouse Theater through February 16th. Now, Julinda and I are going to talk about Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad, which is a Virginia Rep children's theater production at Willow Lawn through March 1st. I think pretty much everybody knows who Harriet Tubman is at this point. This is kind of an outline biography of her. One of the things I thought was interesting is, of course, everybody knows about the Underground Railroad, but it covers the stuff she did after that and how she fought in the Civil War for the Union.
Yeah, it was a very, I think, well-rounded picture of Harriet Tubman, more so than what we're used to.
Right.
And
right.
One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting, and I don't know if it was the director, Katrina Carol Lewis, or the author, or the combination, it didn't talk down to children.
Right. Douglas Jones was the author, by the way.
Yes, and he was in the audience the night I was there.
Oh, was he? Good.
Yes.
I thought he used a very clever method of getting that information across by having a woman who actually wrote a biography about Harriet Tubman, and she was pitching that to a publisher.
Yes.
And it allowed them to set it up that way, and then there were flashbacks. So it was almost cinematic in a way. I just thought it was simple, but it was clear for the young audience.
Speaking of a young audience, of course, I took my two grandsons along with me.
Right.
And this was aimed at, say, the 9 year and older.
Right, yeah.
So my older grandson is 10 or 11. And he liked it a lot. And one of the things I thought was interesting was he said, "It's over already?" That seemed like it was only 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But the younger one, who's only 5, I thought, this might be a bit above his head. But he was completely enthralled, and partly because of the music and the audience interaction. There were opportunities to clap along and sing along.
Snap along.
Right. So that held his attention as well. So it really is truly a family affair.
The cast was strong.
Now, the woman that played Harriet, Margie Sutherland, I thought she did a phenomenal job in that role.
Right. They all did a great job. I thought the voices blended nicely on the spirituals. And as you mentioned, there were not just spirituals. There were new songs that were written for the show by Ron Burnett, with Douglas Jones writing the lyrics.
Yes.
I thought they were tuneful and pleasant, and they were enjoyable.
First of all, who would think of Harriet as being a musical?
Yeah, really. And as you mentioned, Katrina Carol Lewis did the direction. She kept it very active, but she kept respect for the significance of the drama in the piece, so it didn't ever get belittled or turn into a children's play.
What I find happens so often is that in order to keep the adults interested, that there would be
end
like
jokes
these
and things, right? Yeah.
And they avoided putting the double entendre and the adult twist on it. And it was still very respectful and, I think, kept everyone's attention regardless of age. And that was a great accomplishment.
I agree. So I think we both really enjoyed Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad.
More so than I would have expected.
There you go. It's a Virginia Rep Children's Theater production at Willow Lawn through March 1st, so you have the whole month to go check it out.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.